Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Oh, hey there. Oh, hey, would you like to come to a disco? Yes, please. Okay. That was me inviting myself to a disco, and I went, and it was wonderful. I didn't go to a disco. NB, I didn't go to a disco. How the Lord in a pair of sweatpants are you? I hope you're very well indeed. We have some wonderful, wunderspaßen stories to go through that have been sent in by you wonderful, wonderful listeners. I did do several shout-outs, two people via the medium of social media, and you did get in touch in your droves and said, here's some scary stories, Kev, would you like to listen to this? I said yes, and they're amazing. We've got loads, and I'm so thankful. If you've got a story that you want us to read out on the show, then do go to your email provider and then type into the two box. I'm basically giving you an email address here. But send it to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. That will wing its merry way to me, and I will read it out. And together we will get scared. It is, of course, we're in like the end of the first triad. That's not even a thing. The end of the first third of Halloween. And this is exciting, isn't it? That, you know what that means? Only two more thirds, two more little itty bitty thirds before we get to the man himself or the woman himself or the, what's the gender neutral one? Or the them itself. Yes, that's right. Halloween. Or Samhain, if you are of the ilk, as our pagan friends used to call it, and maybe still do, I don't know. But it is Halloween coming up. As you'll have found out last week, because I told you, Becca is now the manager. It's like, you know, it's a title between me and her. She hasn't, like, gone down to the government and said, I need a job title, please get... Oh, I'm going to make her a badge. I need to make her a badge that says, we need to talk about ghost manager. Anyway... She's been in touch with about 8 different venues. I don't know whether any's got back, actually, as of yet. But we do have 2 backups as well. So, as it stands, things will still go as I intend, which is to have, and I quote, the normal weekend show, the weekend before Halloween, Monday, interviews with people who I know have amazing ghost stories in the flesh. Yes, that'll be a good episode. Tuesday, a location, me and Rebecca on location, scaring the living wetness out of ourselves. And then, of course, the ultimate one, Tuesday, and in case you're new to the show, you're thinking, that's not Halloween, that's the 30th. We know this. Tuesday will be the final Halloween special, the Halloween special, location specific again, and that's so that you can enjoy it on Halloween. Ah, see what I've done there? So it's going to be a spooky week on the show. It's going to be the biggest thing we've ever done, done. So that should be fun. So anyway, how have you been? I do hope that you are well. Not much to talk about this week in a personal level. Let me think. We're going to see Joker tomorrow. Yes, that's meant to be dark and mysterious, isn't it? I believe people are walking out because they're like, oh my God, such an accurate description and portrayal of mental health. So why they're walking out, I don't know. We don't like the truth. Stay away from us. I've seen some reviews saying like, oh, this could inspire incels. Incels. Do you know what an incel is? I do. I found out the other week. Incel is apparently normally a man and it stands for involuntary celibate. Yes. So basically... it's a gang of librarians who are... I keep on putting down librarians, don't they? They're wonderfully educated and literary people, Kevin. Leave them bloody alone. But, you know, they're generally just nerds. They can't get girlfriends. They're not very, you know, I'm not very confident. And therefore, they don't have sex. And when they don't have sex, they get very angry at women for not giving them the sex that they feel that they deserve. And they hate jocks. They hate jocks and sports guys because they think they're getting all the sex and they're not sharing the sex with them, the involuntary celibate. I mean, I'm also involuntary poor. So should I maybe call the Invpo? Let's start a new crazy gang called the Inpos. I'm Inpo. Give me the money, I bloody want it. So yeah, they're a strange group. Let's hope that we never, any of us, encounter them. Anyway, enough on incels, Joker films. Oh, I will try and give you a review next week of The Joker. Kev's take on the film The Joker, because I'm sure we all need that in our lives. But one thing that we do need in our lives is ghosts. So without any further ado, allow me to tell you a ghost story. And this story is one of a couple that we will feature on this episode from my new good friend, Hans Stuttgart. He's a German guy. He loves German dance music. That's a joke. I don't think that's his real name, but don't tell anyone. But yes, Hans Stuttgart, yes. And he sent in an email that goes thusly. Hi Kevin, love the show and all the stories. Why, thank you, Hans. I have quite a few stories for you, but I'm no paranormal expert or medium, just seem to have a few odd encounters. That's perfectly fine, Hans. Please fire away. Quick backstory. I am close to 40 years old. I have many tattoos and a skinhead. A former boxer and currently work in healthcare. Essentially, not much scares me these days. I'll be honest with you, Hans. Your description scares me. I wouldn't like to meet you in a dark alley. I joke, I've seen a picture. You seem like a very nice chap. Anyway. My story today is an experience I had whilst in my second year of uni in Southampton. It was my second year doing sports therapy and health and welfare. My then girlfriend was about to start her first year in the same university. I convinced her to live with me and my four housemates in a student house we were about to move into to save us some money. Okay. And that's not like the start of a naughty film, but we carry on. Imagine the Breakfast Club kids living together. We were all so very different, but us four had lived together the year before. Plus, they knew my girlfriend, so that was an advantage. On the first day, me and the missus moved in. In brackets, the others had been there a day or two before. I was alone in the house as my missus went to buy some food and stuff. I decided to stay behind and build some furniture. Our living room had hardwood floors and no coffee table. This was my priority. Build something everyone else would appreciate. You're a man's man, you Hans. I like that. I'm going to build something. Give me that wood. I'll be at IKEA going, I need something very simple to put together and preferably lightweight. I am a bit of a weakling. Anyway, I continue. It was one of those basic tables from Argos. Oh, I thought you'd went out and cut a tree down. Anyway, Argos for our American friends is like a Walmart sort of thing. One of those basic tables from Argos. I was sat in the middle of the room, door to the left, kitchen to the right, and here I was stuck in the middle with the instructions. He didn't say that, I added that in. I did have the instructions to the left of me and part of the table on the right. There I was stuck in the middle with a hammer. You can't say to the left, to the right, stuck, because I'm going to say stuck in the middle. I'm going to have to do that paragraph again without me trying to be funny. Oh, interesting side note though. That song, Stuck in the Middle with You, is by Steeler's Wheel, lead singer of which is Jerry Rafferty. Jerry Rafferty is Becca's nan's cousin. So yeah, no relation at all to Becca, really. So sorry, Hans, I'll regroup that now. It was one of those basic tables from Argos. I was sat in the middle of the room, door to the left, kitchen to the right, bite me lips, with the instructions to the left of me and parts of the table to the right. Still biting my tongue. I was using a screwdriver my dad gave me. Quite small, but perfect for jobs like these. I placed a screwdriver on the instructions as I picked up another leg to screw on. I reached down to pick up the screwdriver, in brackets, without looking, but couldn't find it. Just as I had a moment of WTF, I heard a bang outside the living room, like metal hitting something. Obviously, I was a little more than freaked and shocked by the surprise. I went over to where the noise came from, outside the living room and near the front door, a good 15 feet away. Would you Adam and Eve it was my screwdriver moving circular in the hallway. NB, for our American listeners, that's Cockney rhyming slang he's used there. Adam and Eve it. Believe it. So we're learning as we're going here. So, would you Adam and Eve it was my screwdriver moving circular in the hallway. Now I was definitely freaked and surprised. I couldn't find the solution for what had happened, so just went down the pub to meet up with the missus and all my housemates, eager to tell my story and scare my missus. We spent a fair bit of time in the pub that day and none of us wanted to return to our Amityville house in Southampton after I shared my story, but we had to. As we got closer, there was something odd. Dun, dun, dun. A lady was stood outside our house looking very angry. I hope she's real. As we approached her, there was a loud smash from upstairs. It was one of the windows on the top floor being slammed and smashed. Brilliant, I thought. We hadn't even spoke to the lady at this point. She was our new neighbour. She had heard loud noises and called the police, thinking we were throwing a crazy drug-fueled party. An excellent introduction to someone we'd be living next door to for a year. We assured her that no one was inside the house and thanked her for calling the police. I also made some comments about needing sleep, as we all had choir practice in the morning. Lol, he says in brackets. I like a good lol. The police arrived and we handed them the keys to go and investigate, telling them that we were all here and no one else should be inside. Outside our house, scared, terrified and excited, we watch with anticipation as if the police would come running out with newly whitened hair, waving their guns in the air, screaming, "The power of the Met compels you." I like that. Well done, Hans. The police spent a good 10 minutes looking around, but nothing, except a bloody broken window and a smashed up coffee table. Dick move, Ghost. Dick move. He says that, and I 100% concur. We thank the police and reluctantly re-entered the house. Everything seemed fine and in order, except the coffee table was smashed in pieces. And again, dick move. The night was a very sleepless night all round. It all came to a head around 5 a.m. when we were all awoken by a loud crash. We rushed downstairs to find the living room / kitchen door hanging off its hinges. We all decided to stay in the larger room of the house and calm down. We'd deal with Pazuzu in the morning. I'm sure you all know, but Pazuzu is the demon in the Exorcist films. He's taking us on a merry tour here of horror films as well as. This is a great story, Hans. Well done. We brought a new table and set up for a bit of Sunday lunch and the 90s classic dog film, Beethoven, on the telly box. Ah, simple, innocent Sundays. He says that. And I agree. We were all feeling tired and happy thanks to the lovely chicken and that St. Bernard dog. The TV was in front of the window and we were all glued to what we were watching. Oddly, this was all very bonding for us, a shared experience. Suddenly there was a loud... Sorry, there was a lard. There was no lard. Suddenly there was a low... What am I... Start again. Suddenly there was a loud noise come from upstairs, then a crack in the window of the living room appeared, though nothing had been thrown or anything. Okay, time to contact the landlord. We called up and apologised for calling her on a Sunday. We explained that what had happened over the last 24 hours, nothing had happened to anyone before we got there. We explained the police presence and the neighbour, the windows and the dick move table incident. I like that. That's got a name now. The landlord said he completely understood what was happening and explained that he had rented out the property for similar reasons. We were the first people to take up the house since it had been redone. Oddly, there's no death or mass murder, Indian burial ground or cursed clock. This had all started the previous winter whilst it was being done up, according to Mr. Landlord. Now, just to say, this is Kev now. Hello, everybody, this is Kev. But I'm sure that we've all heard ghost stories of, it apparently triggers it off, doesn't it, when somebody goes in to renovate or do something up? It's like the ghost go, "I'm trying to sleep in these walls. What's with the drilling?" Anyway, he continues. We stayed there and ignored any happenings or incidents, reassured by the landlord that no matter what, we would all get our deposit back and he would knock something off the rent as well. Bonus. Not much actually happened, though my missus and myself had an alarming dream. We both dreamt that she was being strangled by an older man. We both woke up and shared what had happened in the dream. I said I had a very similar dream and it must have been something we watched. When the alarm woke us up, I noticed that my missus had marks on the side of her neck, like two finger imprints either side of her neck. A few months later, we broke up and she moved out. Nothing to do with the ghost or paranormal activity. I was strangling her in my sleep. I've added that in. He didn't really say that. I do apologise. So they did break up. She moved out. Nothing to do with ghost or paranormal activity. More to do with Darren in her class and a drunk at night away from home. Dick move, Darren. Dick move. Wow. The remaining members of the House of the Devil stayed at the house with much more happenings. Just a couple of odd dreams and moved items, but nothing compared to the first night. Without much more happening, sorry. Plus, we got a full deposit back and threw a massive party just before we left. The end. Almost. I've got a few more stories to share and will do soon. As I said to you before, some nice stories and some you'll poop your pants with. Thank you and hope you've enjoyed this very true tale. Hans Stuttgart. I love that story, Hans. I love it very, very much. And the reason I love it so is because it was exceptionally well written and it's also bloody terrifying. So we will have more stories from Hans coming up very shortly. But what do you make of that then? What do you think of that? My people, my wonderful people with the ears out there who listen through those ears. I think it's exceptionally weird. I think it's doubly weird at the fact that the landlord is like, I thought that'd happen. To be honest, I just, we just thought we'd try our luck that it wouldn't bother you. But what do you know? The devil's a dick. And I do like this dick move saying, can I steal that, Hans? I can say that to Becca a few times. I'm going to say, dick move, Becca, dick move. I don't say it right, do I? It sounds like I'm trying to command my dick to move. Dick move. Dick move. Anyway, I'll practice and work on that. And maybe I'll get Becca on and I can show you all how I've said dick move to her. Won't that be worth downloading? Anyway, shall we have more scary stories? Of course, the last one featured Beethoven was mentioned, wasn't he? The dog. You know the dog? The dog. Well, we have an email about a doggy, and I'm going to read it. This one's called Black Dog. Told you. Didn't I tell you it was about dogs? And it's by the wonderful Jay Adams. They've emailed in and says, the title of this, well, the subject in the email says, hey, Kev, don't know if this is any use, but it's your fault. Fair enough. I'll take the blame. So, hi, Kev. You recommended some of the podcasts, and I was listening to one episode on another podcast. The Ghost Story Guys. Don't know if you want to give them another shout-out. Yes, I do. I will forever shout-out the Ghost Story Guys from the rooftop. Because Brennan and Ian are amazing guys. They're very funny. Go and check them out. Stop what you're doing. Go and listen to two people who sound brilliant. The audio microphones they've got must be amazing. I think they got them from Jesus. Anyway, do go and listen to the Ghost Story Guys. They're fabulous. She says, and I realised I've had another encounter. Not a ghost as such, but seems to be a phenomena called the black dog. Meow. In my early 20s, I was doing the Eurorail, as everyone did as a rite of passage. I have no idea what that is. I sat on lots of trains and stayed a few days on park benches in cities and then got back on the train. I didn't really plan it well, and it was really just sitting on trains for a few hours staring out of the window. That sounds fun. No wonder everyone was doing that. This one particular very early morning, I'd been sitting on the train for over 12 hours and the train pulled into Frankfurt. Oh, good luck saying this, Kev. Hauptbahnhof. Hauptbahnhof. That's where she pulled into. So the train had pulled into Frankfurt. Hauptbahnhof. It was about 2 a.m. and first time I'd been in Germany. I was about to, if this goes into a German dance story, I'll be made up. I doubted them. I had about an hour until the train left again. I was travelling to Bremen in the north to visit a friend, but this was the only train I could get on my Eurorail ticket. I was excited to be in Frankfurt for the first time ever, and even though it was 2 a.m, there was plenty of people milling about the Hauptbahnhof. After about 10 minutes, I'd see all I could from the station and decided to venture off into the street-lit city. From what I could see, there were plenty of people out in the street as well. I found out later it was a pretty bad part of town, in brackets, or I should say it was in those days, it might have improved. And there were lots of homeless, brothels, cheap bars in the area, which is why there were so many people hanging about outside. As I left the station, I saw out of the corner of my eye a very, very large black dog slowly appear out of the shadows and move towards me. I'm talking about up to my shoulder height dog standing up. Does that mean if the dog was standing up? It sounds bloody big anyway. I tried to not look directly at it because I thought it might belong to one of the homeless people in the vicinity and they may approach me and ask me for money or punch me or anything. The dog slash wolf might start barking at me or growling if it was commanded to do so, till I handed over my money. It was 2 a.m. and I suddenly realised there were only very drunk, very crazy and very strange people hanging around in the streets and there seemed to be a large black dog slash wolf a little way behind me. Still, I didn't panic. I was young and invincible, and it was exciting rather than frightening. I don't agree with you. That sounds bloody awful. But I know what you mean. I'm not one for travelling, but those who are probably would go, ah, that sounds like bliss. Ah, the smell of the homeless. But anyway, let's see. It was my first time in Germany, and I just figured all the black dogs were that big. Germany is the home country of the Alsatian and German Shepherd dog breeds, so I thought this was some wolf slash hybrid cross monster dog. I quickened my pace into the darkening and poorly lit streets to try to turn back in a few streets to get back past the station. I didn't want to turn around and walk back past this huge black dog that I could sense behind me. After continuing for a few streets further away from the station, I realised the streets were now empty and it was just me and this large-sized wolf dog behind me. And he just started running and then cut into the first side street and then down a street and a side street again. Jay, this sounds bloody awful, honest to God. I mean, I know it's not yet a ghost, but I'm still scared. Just so you all know. I thought I might have outrun the dog, but I looked back and could see it about half a block behind me, just trotting along, and then I saw it had bright red, almost glowing eyes. I didn't panic. I'm not frightened of dogs. This isn't a dog, Jay. This isn't a dog. This is the devil himself with four legs. Anyway. Almost glowing eyes. I didn't panic. I'm not frightened of dogs, and it didn't seem like it was going to attack me. But I just didn't like it following me. I did wonder what breed of dog this was. I'd never seen one with red eyes before, but figured it was some German distinctive breed. Yes, with Lucifer. I was actually more worried about what I thought was the unseen dog owner who might be following the dog. They may order it to attack me, as it just seemed to be me and the dog in empty streets. I ran again down the side street, across the street, another side street, another street. The wolf dog was sometimes half a block away from me, sometimes a block. I thought I'd lost it, and when it came out into the main street, there it was, about a block in front of me. I was running flat out, but it seemed to keep pace, even though I seemed to be doing a slow trot. I could always see the glowing red eyes, never blinking, and always seeming to be focused on me. Hell of a story, this. Let me see. I slowed down to a trot now and was zigzagging through streets, always keeping in my mind the direction to the station, as I was now running out of time before my train left and I was still several long blocks away. I didn't want to run directly towards the dog, and it didn't seem it wanted to impede my progress, but I was frightened to make a mad dash for the station, so I kept running one block, across a block, up a block, across a block, slowly in a huge arc heading towards the station. The dog slash wolf was always behind me, sometimes a block, sometimes half a block, sometimes at the block parallel to me. It struck me now that I had always seen the dog, but not the owner, so I figured perhaps that they were never following me, but maybe waiting at the station, and the dog would attack me as I got close to the station. Now I was getting into a panic. I had less than 5 minutes before my train left, and still several long blocks to get to the station. If I knew anything about Germany, it was that the train leaves and arrive on time. I threw caution to the wind and ran full pelt along a straight street and could see the Hoppetepanoff directly in front of me. The dog then kept pace with me on the other side of the road, which spurred me on even faster. I ran into the station just as the train was slowly starting to pull away from the platform, so I ran and managed to open a door and get into the train. This was the old train carriages, thankfully, with the turn handles and not a modern slick train with automatic closing and sealing doors. I stuck my head out of the window and could see the red eyes just off in the darkness to the side of the main station entrance. The dog hadn't followed me into the station properly, apparently. I was so relieved just to catch the train and exhausted from running for about 90 minutes that I collapsed into my seat and fell asleep almost immediately. When I awoke several hours later, it was late morning, the sun was shining, and I was close to my destination, and the countryside was moving swiftly past the window. I thought about the night before and the huge dog and decided that in future, I'd just stay in the station for any further city night stops. Good idea, yes, Jay, good idea. I can't recall if I asked my friend about the huge black dog I'd seen, but I did tell him the story about me running through the streets of Frankfurt at 3 a.m. He told me train stations, especially in large cities, are full of thieves and pickpockets, and the areas around the train stations are bad areas and I should never go out of the station alone, particularly at night. All in all, I figured I'd had a lucky escape and chalked the whole thing up to an experience and a good story. So that happened years ago, and it wasn't until listening to a podcast where there were several stories about black dogs with red eyes that I even remember the story. That was what I remember very clearly, that the dog was black, huge, and it had red eyes. What strikes me as strange now is that with so many other people milling around the station, no one else seemed to really notice this giant black dog. I certainly don't remember it passing through people like a ghost, but I don't recall exactly how it was able to move around without people screaming or running away. About two blocks away from the station, it was just me and this black dog for an hour, running through the streets, not another soul in sight. Maybe if I had seen anyone, I might have asked for help, or walked with them, or pointed out the black dog to them, but there was no one there. It was just me and the dog for an hour. I've never seen a huge black dog like that again, and never ever thought about it, but I've also not forgotten about it. Don't know if you want to read this on the podcast. I do, and I am. Look, that's me doing it now. It's not exactly a ghost story. It's a black dog story, which I didn't even know was a thing until last week. So as usual, big hug to Becca. Keep up the great work and good luck with the Halloween extravaganza. Best wishes, Jay. Not Amy. Adams. I did call her Amy Adams. What a story that is. And thank you, Jay, for sending that in. If you have a story, which doesn't have to be ghosts, it could be like that, you know, there's something spooky about that. And, you know, in England, as you know, we do have many, many tales of, like, Black Shuck, which is a big black dog, and, like, dogs that come and put... Oh, there's an interesting one. I don't want to be Johnny Morbid Pants, but I'm gonna. Jay, what I will say is, did anybody die shortly after seeing that? And I know that sounds like an awful thing to ask. However, black dogs, allegedly, folklore, etc., are meant to... portent. Is it portent? Are they a portent? Anyway, they're meant to be a forewarner. There's a better word than that. It's not coming to mind. Of death, impending death, or a death, yeah. Black dogs, similar to a banshee, but some families have The Black Dog. So that is a fantastic story. You know, if you've got a story like that, send it in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Doesn't have to be about ghosts, can just be freaky, 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 like that. And I'll read it out. Thank you, Jay. That's wonderful. I will say, me and Becca often have little weekend breaks in, like, European cities, and we often get the cheapest place to stay, and it's often near the train station. We've done so in Milan, and we had to get a train to Milan Airport to fly to Bulgaria once, and we were only, like, 100 feet from the train station, but the train was leaving at like 4 a.m. and I was saying to Becca, listen, this is a rough part of town, I don't feel great about walking that 100 feet, shall we just get a cab? Obviously she's much braver than me and sees herself as very travelistic and European. She was like, nonsense, we'll just walk on through, it's a European city, culture, love. And we did, and we did have to run a bit because there were winos there going blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of right, she was kind of right, and we made our train. But yes, an excellent story all round. Thank you, Jay. And yes, do go and listen to the ghost story, guys. I think I've listened to the episode in question, actually, and it's bloody great, like all of their stuff. So, yes. Anyway, speaking of Germany and Haberdappendubwaff, where the train station was, is that racist? I'm undecided. It probably is, isn't it? I do apologise. I think we have a midpoint lined up, don't we? Don't we, just? Yes, I think we do. Haston Midpoint.
Der Hauptbahnhof.
I think that'll do. Yes, we didn't have a German song this time. I wanted to know how to say that word. Der Hauptbahnhof. Should I go back and edit that in at every time? No, that would take far too long. Anyway, it's the midpoint. Huzzah! Dingle, dingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. It's not Christmas, but it is the spooky Christmas, which is Halloween. Oh my God, I've just thought of something. Maybe I thought of this previously. I'm not sure, but I'll say it anyway. A Halloween advent calendar. I think that would be an amazing product for spooky people everywhere. So you can be like, ah, it's the 1st of October. What have you got? Oh, cobwebs, hooray! And stuff like that. Should I invent that? I honestly am being genuinely serious. I may actually invent this and put it in all good retail stores. Anyway, how are you? I do hope you're well. It is the midpoint. Please continue to send your wonderful, wonderful stories to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. I will read them out because that's how the show works. Thank you, by the way, for last week. I just said it. That I got a one-star review. I didn't give it much airtime, but then you came out and you droves to do really nice reviews. One person even put their title as Let Me At Them. And they then went on to accuse the Ghost Story guys of doing it, but they were jesting, of course. I sound like I'm like a complete, just like, in cahoots with the Ghost Story guys. I just think they're great. Anyway, enough of them. Sorry, Brenna. Sorry, Ian. But I must stop talking about you right now, because you do with my own podcast, yes. But yeah, thank you for everyone who's gone over to wherever you leave your reviews and left a review. Leave left. Diepenhaubenhausen. That's still not it. But go, if you want to leave a review, you know, we're going to give the shout out to the Patreon shortly. And if you can't give to Patreon for whatever reason, which is none of my business, and it's completely understandable as well, then do go and leave a review. Anyone can do that. It's free of charge. If you can download the show, you can leave a review. You know, you don't have to, again. I know it's a bit of a ball ache. But if you do want to go and leave a review, then please do. Apparently that helps us get a bit of exposure, so that would be nice of you to do. But thank you to everyone who has. Big shout out does need to go to the patrons, because, like, you know, the lapel mic and the vocal recorder that I've bought? It's all thanks to the patrons. So literally, without them, the Halloween specials wouldn't take place. So I do need to thank them. They've just had the Patron special episode of the month come out. I'm going to do another one prior to Halloween for them as well. So if you'd like to go and join them, go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. It's sincerely appreciated. Stop saying are you like some English footballer getting interviewed? We played well the first half. We could have done better second half. Anyway, enough of that drivel. Let's say thank you and hello and sing some patronage names. And here's the guitar. And the first person to say thank you to is Kayla Walsh, the wonderful, amazing Kayla Walsh, a lady from Ireland who has been listening to the show for a while. She's the one who sent in the demon growl. Or some people think a burp. I don't think it's a burp. It's a demon growl. So Kayla's going to sign up to the Patreon, to the Exilist. So this is for you. She has gone and signed a Patreon. She signed up to the extra list, Kayla.
sign up to the Patreon. I wanna say thank you, Kayla. Kayla, won't you read my worried mind?
I forgot any new lyrics there. But there you go, that's for Kayla. Thank you very much, Kayla Walsh. We've also had the amazingly named Amy Brunkela. Sign up to the X-List, and this is for you, Amy Brunkela.
It's Amy Brunkela. Oh, it's Amy Brunkela. She has signed up to the X-List. I wanna say thanks to her. And if we met in person, we might even kiss.
Wait there.
Oh, I can't say that, oh no, unless I'll be single. Oh, oh no.
Anyway, that took a turn, didn't it? Thanks, so Amy Brunkela. Don't worry, we won't really kiss. But do want to thank you, though. We also need to say thank you to Pamela Baldwin, who's gone and signed over to Team Paul tonight. This is for you.
I guess you signed up to the patron. Bum, 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 bum. I guess you signed up to the patron. Bum, 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 bum. Pamela Baldwin gave a donation to Patreon the other day. What can I say except the thank you? So I will say thank you now and I'll say it again. Thank you, my friend, all the lonely Kevins.
I'll stop that there, because that was going weird. Thank you, Pamela Baldwin. You are amazing. And I also do want to say a big shout-out to the fantastically named Patricia Castillo, who has opened, not opened, she hasn't opened anything. She may have opened jars or things, or maybe even a shop, but she's also upped her patronage donation from Team Poltonice to the X-List. So thank you. Very quick one for you, Patricia. Here we go.
Surname's Castillo and her first name's Patricia. She signed to the X-List and I want to thank her. Yeah.
But a Duran Duran, there's not enough Duran Duran. In fact, there's not enough name with two names. Abba Abba, Duran Duran. Is there any more? You let me know. Anyway, thank you very much. Don't forget, you can go and sign up to the Patreon. I'll sing your name out too. Go up to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. It truly does keep this show going and allow things like the Halloween spectacular to take place. So that's patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Anyway, let's get on with the spook motherfunker. And we're back, once again, with the illest of behaviours. Okay, so let's get more spook on. This is an email that came in from Julie Glenn. She lives in the Glen. She doesn't. Her name is Julie Glenn, though. Happy Halloween, Kev. Why, thank you, Julie. Happy Halloween, too. I hope it's going terrifyingly, and as we speak, poltergeist, which is the plural, are wreaking havoc in your house. I don't wish that on anyone apart from the spooky lovers. Anyway, I sent the story into the Ghost Story Guys. Guys, you need to geg out me podcast. I'm joking, I love you. A year ago on Halloween, but they never read it out on the show. Oh, Brennan, Ian. Oh, you're probably saving it for this Halloween, and I'm going to preempt you. Sorry. So I thought I would send it to you to see if you could use it on your show. Yes, yes, I will, Julie. Thank you. I work as a clerk for a very small village in Michigan, about 800 people, no stoplights, that kind of small. I've been here for almost 21 years and I've had quite a few weird things happen in our old village hall. It's not an everyday kind of thing, but once or twice a year I have stuff happen that I just can't explain. There is a police department here located in the back part of the building, so the cops wander in and out occasionally, but I do get a few walk-in customers. But 90% of the time, I'm in the building alone. That sounds awful. When you come into the building, you can turn right and walk into my office, or you can go straight, and it will take you out to the main meeting room. There's a back door to the building, but it's located inside the police department, which is kept locked at all times, so anyone who comes through the front door has to leave the same way. Oh, understood. Let's go. One day in late September 2015, a woman walked into the building with a small child next to her. Spooky already. I hate small children. Mind you, I'd hate large children, they'd be even freakier. Anyway, it was a little girl with long brown hair wearing a red jacket. As they walked into the front door, I heard the little girl chatting away about a mile a minute. The woman turns right and walks into the office, while the little girl, in brackets, who by then had stopped talking, kept going straight and walked out of my sight into the meeting room. The woman sits down in the chair in front of my desk and proceeds to pay her tax bill. We chat for a minute or two about the weather and whatnot, just everyday chit-chat. Nothing in particular that I can remember. But as we're chatting, I'm thinking to myself, gosh, that little girl's being awfully quiet. I wonder what she's up to out there. The woman stands up and says to me, hey, have a great day, and heads out the front door. Of course, my first thought was, what the hell, did she just leave her kid here? I get up from my desk, walk into the room, and find it completely empty. Just going to let that hang for a minute. Empty. Well, there are certain stories I read, and due to how they're written, I can picture them very, very well. And I've just done it with that one. And I've just got a shiver right up my left arm, which actually could be a stroke or a heart attack. If this goes out, then I'm still alive. If not, if there's just a bump and Becca's listening back to this to see what I said before I died, then hello, Becca, I love you very much. I'm sorry I'm dead. But if not, and you do listen to this, then Julie, that story has put the living fear of Jesus himself into me. That is horrible, with a capital horrible. Oh, my Lord. So right now you're telling me there's a police station somewhere and there's a ghost of... In fact, it won't be Will, it'll be the mother, won't it? So that mother's clearly lost this child. Let's make up something awful, because that's what we're all thinking. She's been hit by a car. And a year later, she's walking around her ghostly self next to her mother, saying things like, why didn't you move me out of the way of the car? Mother, 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 why didn't you move me? Please tell me why you moved. Mother, mother, blah, blah, blah. But then, interestingly, she may be doing that, which is terrifying. I think we can all agree that that's terrifying. But it then would imply, if that's true, and this is why we need to wear a bit of a cynical hat. I'm not saying the story didn't happen, but if my version of events is true, the whole mother, mother, I'm talking a mile a minute, like the storyteller said, and therefore I'm absolutely beside myself. Well, I'm beside you, but you know what I mean. If that's all taken place, it does mean that when she's walked into the room, she's went, mother, mother, mother. Oh, they have flashy lights in there. Bye, mother, I'm going into the other room now. Yes, I'm going for a bit of a nose, which isn't all that scary. I think I could be haunted by the child, by the ghost of a little child, if it was that easily distracted. I think I'd be like, be off with you. I'm sorry, could you put CBeebies on? It's a child's television programme in the UK. Can you put the CBeebies channel on, please? I have a ghost following me and I just want them away. Keep them distracted. Yes, but that is an amazing story. Thank you, Julie Glenn. Do send other stories in. You don't have to run them by the ghost story guys first. You can send them over here. I'm sure we can send them to everyone you want. God, the ghost story guys have featured heavily in this one, haven't they? I'll have to drop Brennan a note and just say, really sorry for the amount of name drops you get. Or should I be thankful? Should he be thankful? I don't know. But do go and listen to them anyway. The good guys. The good story guys. That's what they should be called. Featuring ghost stories. That would be an awful title. No wonder they didn't use it. Anyway, shall we have another real ghost story from my mouth? I think we should. Here we go. Now, this story, like I said at the start, we've had a few stories in from my new German friend, Hans Stuttgart, yes, and this is his second one. And this is a lovely story. Before I say that, actually, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who shared the tweets and the stuff that I've been doing. So, Richard, I want to say thank you to you. And Sarah, I want to say thank you to you. So thank you to more people than them two, but they're the names that spring to mind. Thank you for that. Anyway, back to Hans' story. Now, this is a lovely story. Not as spooky. And you know what I'm like? You know by now, by listening to this, that normally for like nicey, softy stories, I'm a bit like, oh, come on, bring the devil forward, why don't ya? But this is nice. It's very nice and it's very well written. So we're going to end this episode with Hans's story. And it's lovely. Here we go. Hey, Kev, still loving the show and all caught up now. Another backstory. Skinhead, tattoos, boxing, ghosts don't scare me. Now that we're all caught up. You may remember it from story one. Here we go. I'm thrilled to share with you all my story of me and my granddad. My granddad was called Charlie. He led a very interesting life. When he was a lad, he would go around Jewish families' houses and light candles and do chores that they couldn't on the Sabbath. Isn't that bloody lovely? It really is. In his teens, he was a firefighter in London during the war. And finally, a pub landlord in West London. For 30 years, he served the finest ales from Uxbridge to Stratford. People would talk of the amazing ales of Charlie the Innkeeper. In a bracket, that's a lie. It was just an old geezer's boozer down in Ealing. Fair enough. I was absolutely going for that at the time. Damn you, Hans. When I was a young lad, between 5 and 6 years old, I had epilepsy and dietary problems. I would digest food very quickly and not put on weight, which would mean I was always hungry. I think I've got that. I don't really, I'm just fat. Add this to being epileptic and you have a lad who's always a bit miserable and down. This also meant I missed out on a lot of school and had to be taught from home for several months just to keep up with the other children of my age. My granddad was my best friend and would do anything in his power to cheer me up, from playing cricket with my mum's frying pan to taking me to Arsenal games, that's a football team, or a soccer team, just to piss off my West Ham, another soccer team, loving dad. In the evening time would be the worst for me. Every week I would have a seizure. This would then lead to sleeping through exhaustion and waking up later full of beans and ready for dinner at 12 o'clock at night. My poor mum would have to cook something for me and then entertain me till I fell asleep. God bless her. My granddad would often come round to make sure we were all okay and that my mum had someone with her while I was awake that late. As my dad was either away working or had early starts, my sisters and brother would also be asleep as they had school the next day or whatever. On these late nights, me, my mum and my granddad would play Pinochle or Pinocho. I don't know what the game is, I'm sorry. I'll Google it before the end of the episode so we can all join in. We lived in quite a big house in Ealing. So while we played cards, we could have easily had a laugh and not wake anyone. This happened for as long as I remember my granddad. He would stay up late, way past 3 or 4 a.m, playing cards and giving me sips of whiskey or sherry, just so I go to bloody sleep. Imagine a hyper-drunk 6-year-old singing Chaz and Dave and Beatles songs at 3 a.m. Mum and Pap had the patience of a saint. When I was 7 years old and in school, yay, thanks Mum and Pap, he says in brackets, I was leading a more normal life for a child my age. I was in the same school as my sisters and they were on red alert in case I had a seizure. It was February in 1986. Everything was going great. I was eating better and hadn't had a seizure since December. But that February would turn out to be the worst February for my whole family. Granddad Charlie had been diagnosed with an aggressive cancer. Tragically, he would go on to die the day after he found this out. Bloody hell. I was in a school assembly that morning between 9 and 10. I didn't know anything was wrong with my pops / best friend, nor had my sisters or brother known. I started crying in the assembly for apparently no reason. Everyone around were in the midst of being told of what was happening before Easter, and there was little me crying my heart out. I was escorted to the nursery area, but they were asking what was wrong, but I was hysterical. It turns out they had to clean me up with a swimming towel. I was crying that much. Then inevitably I had a massive seizure. Hospital time for me then. I was taken to Southall Hospital, as were both my parents, as they'd just been there just before 9 a.m. with my nan and granddad in his final hour. He died at 9:30 that morning. This was such a horrible day for everyone in my family. I can only imagine how my mum was feeling. Her son and her father both in the same hospital at the same time. I was discharged from hospital that evening. We'd all been at the hospital with my nan all day. We were frazzled and emotional. We dropped my nan off at her friends and family went home. When we got home, all I wanted was my Arsenal kit my granddad had bought for me for my birthday and my bed. My mum took me upstairs to help me to bed. We entered my room to find my Arsenal kit laying neatly on my bed. I asked my mum if she put it there. She said no. We'd been at the hospital and no one had come home all day. The end. Thank you for letting me share this. It doesn't give me chills. It makes me remember how loving and kind Grandad Charlie was. Keep up the podcast and thanks again. And Stuttgart. And I'm nearly crying at that because that's bloody lovely. I'm not used to saying that's bloody terrifying or that's bloody horrible, but that's bloody lovely. So thank you, Hans. I think that's an absolutely beautiful story to end on. I can't really say anything stupid or funny after that, really. I just want to go and kiss my family. But I haven't got the petrol and they live miles away. So stop them. I'll just ring them and say, all right, you're all right. They'll say yes and I'll hang up. But what a lovely, lovely story. If you've got a lovely, lovely story, then do send it on. But I'd prefer if you have one where you're possessed and we can just go, oh, that's terrible. Oh, I'll never get to sleep because I don't like getting emotional. So if you've got one of those stories or one of the other stories, do send it in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. We're building up an army of stories for the Halloween season and I want to disperse this army onto the world. Yes, we will take over. Yes. So thank you very much for listening and downloading. If you do want to go and sign up to the Patreon, by all means do. It will be much appreciated and we can do magical things with that donation. Go over to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. In the meantime, I want to say thank you wholeheartedly to everyone who's donated to the show, be that through stories, be that through Patreon, be that through sharing it, be that through just downloading it. Sincere thanks to all of yous. It doesn't continue without you guys, and yous are wonderful. I'm only saying that because now I'm emotional after that story. Tell you what, if you want to get anything out of me, get me after a story like that. I need to hide from Becca now because she'll be like, can I have a dress? I'll be like, you can have whatever you want. Go on, let me fold it for you. So yeah, I love you all, and I will see you next week. Tatty bye, everyone. Tatty bye.